If you haven't joined us for the last 2 weeks, this is week three of an ongoing series called What Not to Do. Amazing so far, very impactful so far. And today we're looking at the voices that we allow shapes our future. The voices we allow in shapes our future. A rather bold claim, at least on face value, right? Because how does what I listen to shape what I become? You may ask right off the bat. But we're not only going to explore today why this claim is true, but we're going to see how it's already happening. How whatever we let in and whatever voices we listen to is already shaping what we become day by day. We're going to jump into the Bible and scripture in a minute, but I feel it's rather important that we just define this term voices. What do we mean by that? So back in the day, and maybe still during some of our lifetimes, voices meant just that, voices. You were mostly influenced by the people that surround you, you know, your family, your friends, your community. It didn't have far-reaching influence, and voices were limited to their proximity and their environment. But today, we live in a completely different time. We live in the internet age, and that has made the world rather small. Right now, you can reach somebody on the other side of the world while just laying in your bed. You know, that's how impactful the platforms that internet has provided has become. So voices are now far-reaching and they have much, much greater influence. So back then you were shaped by what was closest to you. By now you just open up your phone and, you know, you get influenced. We are more influenced today, in fact, than we were ever before, and we're not much more aware of it. The awareness is something we need to catch up with. So voices today is not only the people around you, it's not only the people in your community, but when we speak about voices, we make reference to podcasts, we make reference to the news, to series we watch, the internet, you name it, social media in general. That's the voices that are actually influencing us today. Not only the people in your family, the people in your immediate vicinity, but whenever you open your phone, those are the voices that continue to shape what you become day by day. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into this, but before we do, I just want to share a story with you guys. A few weeks back, I was invited to a rather prestigious event. You know, you can't buy a ticket to go there. You know, it's only strictly by invitation, right? Yeah, we had supper at Amy's place, and she, yeah, you know, you don't just go there, you know, you can't invite yourself. So, yeah, I mean, and for the most part, you know, Amy's a great cook, so we had good food, good conversation. And for the most part, it was a really good time. Until about halfway through, I shared a story with him. But before I go there, I just want to do a short pulse check. Who here cleans their toothbrushes? Just by show of hands, quickly. You guys, yeah, most of us. You see, so you guys who judge me, you're the weird ones, nah? Because look at this. Everybody does it. So I shared the story with him. I was like, hey, you know, the other day I was just searching, how do you clean your toothbrush? So you know, yeah. So as a responsible adult in 2026, I went to TikTok and I just typed in there, how do you clean your toothbrush? So for those of you who don't know, the first results that pop up are the most popular. It's the ones with the most following. It's the ones that has the biggest platform. So I went to the first video and it said, hey, you just use bicarb, dish soap, vinegar, you know, good to go. I thought this is reasonable. We have all those things. Can just give it a nice rinse and then good to go. Scrolled up, next video. Hi, qualified dentist here. Never use the soap on your toothbrush. Now I'm standing there with my toothbrush like, who do I listen to? Who do I listen to? I want this thing clean, but there's two people, seemingly qualified, very confident, saying completely different things. So I was faced with the question, who do I trust in that moment? Because clearly confidence doesn't mean it's true, you know. And the platform doesn't give them the authority. They're both saying different things, and they're both saying it loudly. So in this age, I would argue that discernment is rather hard. Discernment between these voices are hard because not all of them leads to life. So you need to know which voices to listen to. And this isn't just a modern problem, it's just a human problem. It has been around for ages, right? The Bible actually shows us this exact tension. And we're going to look at it now in the life of a king whose name Rehoboam. Before we get into that, I just want us to look at the background just to get some context, because this story kind of throws us in the middle of something that has happened, right? Before we go to 1 Kings 12, Rehoboam was the son of King Solomon. Who knows King Solomon? Wisest guy to walk the earth, except for Jesus, of course. So he's the son of Solomon, but during Solomon's reign, he was ambitious. I mean, we know him as the wise king. He built the temple. He expanded his kingdom. He had great industrialization ambitions. But Solomon was also known for something else. He was a king who allowed Israel to live in peace, no wars. So the thing about that is, when you don't have wars, you don't have the spoils of war. And in that time, part of that spoils are labor. It's free labor. You win another nation, you get free labor. So as a result of that, he had to tax or put a heavy burden on the people of Israel to build this kingdom that he wants to build. Heavy, heavy, heavy burden. And it got so bad to the point where some of them just ditched. They left. They fled to Egypt. And one of those people were called Jeroboam. This is important for later. So Solomon passes away. Word gets out to the people who fled, and they return. And this is where we dive in, right? 1 Kings 12. It says, then Rehoboam went to Shechem because all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. Now, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of this, he was living in Egypt, for he was still in Egypt where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. Then they sent word and summoned him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke hard, but now lighten the hard labor imposed by your father and this heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. Verse 5 says, then he said to them, depart for 3 days, return to me. So they departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father while he was still alive, saying, how do you advise me to answer these people? Then these elders spoke to him. They said, if you will be a servant to this people today and will serve them and grant them their requests and speak pleasant words unto them, then they will be your servants always. But he ignored the advice of the elders which they had given him and consulted with the young men who had grown up with him and served him. He said to them, what advice do you give so that I may answer these people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father has put on us? Verse 10 says, and the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, this is what you should say to these people who spoke to you. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now you make it lighter for us. You should speak to them this way. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Verse 11, now then, my father loaded you with a heavy yoke. Yet I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So this is the advice he got from the young men. I'm just going to jump here to verse 14 real quick. It just says the people came back. Now it's time for the king to talk to them. So verse 14 says, he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. Verse 16 speaks about the result of this decision. When all Israel saw that the king had not listened to them, the people replied to the king, saying, what share do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse, which is David's father. To your tents, Israel, now look after your own house. They basically rejected his rule and said, we're not going to serve you, in a nutshell. Verse 19 ends, so Israel has broken with the house of David to this day. So let's just take a moment to process what we just read. I know it's a lot. It's a long portion of scripture. But basically Rehoboam had two voices. He had the voices of the elders, and he had the voices of the young men who he grew up with. One voice said, serve the people. The other one said, no, assert your power. One voice came from a place of humility, a place of servitude, and the other voice came from a place of pride and a place of ego. So in this moment, he was faced with the question, which voice am I going to trust? It's a huge moment of pressure for him. Now, this is the key here. Rehoboam made his choice. He went with the advice of the young men. But I want to suggest to you that this decision wasn't made in that moment. This decision was made in the years and in the days leading up to that moment. And the pressure of that moment just revealed what Rehoboam has already been building over time. Pressure don't make us do anything. It just reveals what is already there. So in moments of pressure, we don't rise to the occasion. This is the thing we must understand. We don't rise and say, hey, no, I'm going to be, when I'm in that situation, I'm going to do the right thing. It's a lacquer to say that when you have the benefit of hindsight. But the pressure just reveals what is already there, what you already allowed in on a consistent basis. That is what comes out at that moment. And although we may not have the pressures of leading a nation, I doubt any of us here might have that. Unless you're in government, I don't know. But we have the pressures of marriage. We have the pressures of studying or family. We have a lot of other pressures. And in those moments, what comes out is what's already there. And this thing is something that has been spoken of even in the Gospels when Jesus says that what the heart is full of, the mouth speaks. So in essence, I was speaking to Adrian in the week, whatever we say, whatever we do, is actually diagnostic. It points back to what's in the heart. And these things don't come out when you have the benefit of time to mull out a nice response and an answer. They come in high-pressure situations. They come in moments where you are pressed from every side. And you can't control what comes out in those moments, right? Do you know how appetite is formed? You know what you prefer? So I think we're in year 3 or 4 with Connected Life. But there was this story going around in the first year of being here about this food event, trip around the world. You know, it was spoken of with such fervor and excitement. You know, this is what we had, and this one brought this and this. And I was terrified because I'm a picky eater, you know. I'm glad that there's no prospects of reviving that anymore. You know, it has died down since. But what other people prefer in terms of their appetite is just something they've been constantly exposed to. And what I prefer is the same. It's just something I've been constantly exposed with. There's nothing wrong with mango. I just don't eat it, you know. So what you're constantly exposed to, you will eventually become accustomed to. What you become accustomed to, you will eventually become comfortable with. And what you become comfortable with, you will eventually begin to prefer. Modern psychology has a word for this. In fact, a few words. But one of which I want to speak about today is neuroplasticity. Some of you would know what that means. Neuroplasticity is the reason why you don't have the same brain today you had when you were growing up. Because over time, the brain rewires itself based on what it's exposed to. New neural pathways formed, and the more those pathways form, the easier it is to become, to go into those pathways. You understand what I'm saying? The pathways you choose most become the pathways you default to, in essence. In marketing, there's this thing called the mere exposure effect. We begin to like the things that we are familiar with. Adrian made a great example about McDonald's the other day. It's the most unhealthiest thing you can eat. But it's not marketed that way. Wherever you go, you just see a yellow M, you know, it's just nice, juicy burger, pure beef. And we begin to prefer those kind of appetites because we're exposed to it. But this isn't new information. Modern science and technology just puts terms to something that has been an ancient principle. For instance, in Romans 12, 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The mind is renewed over time, not in a moment. So what Paul is saying here is, you can either take in whatever the culture is at the time, constant exposure to that will make you look like them, or you can take in whatever God says about you, whatever His word says. Amen. So the voices you constantly or consistently allow in your life begins to shape what you desire. So Rehoboam, in his story, he didn't just choose the wrong voices. He had a preference for them. He didn't go by to his friends by accident. He actually went to them because their voices felt familiar. It felt right to go that way. The word says that he immediately rejected the advice of the elders. And he went to what he was familiar with. He went to the voices that were agreeable. And this is what makes this so serious. Because you can't, just by sheer willpower, go against what you prefer. You default to that. There's this term that keeps coming up whenever we speak about the life of the local church. And it's Sunday is an overflow of what happens on Monday through Saturday. Like if you come on a Sunday, it's difficult to just switch on worship, to just switch on praise. It's difficult to just switch on a life of prayer if you haven't been doing it consistently Monday through Saturday. This is just an overflow of what you take in every day. You can't come here and just decide to be a different person. You know? This is what the word says in, I think it's Philippians 4, verse 2. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Notice he says, think about them. Allow these voices consistently into your life. Because Paul knows something here. This is the voices that will eventually shape the choices we make, the lens through which we see the world, and ultimately it will shape our future. Think about these things. Direct your mind. Choose your focus. Be intentional about what shapes your thinking because the implications are great. It's either a life that is lived completely free in God's peace on a path that God has set out for you. On the other side, it's just a life that is swayed from left to right based on the voice that is currently loudest. So think on these things. I think a lot about Rehoboam's dad. I mean, this is the guy. If you go to Proverbs, it's likely Solomon who wrote the proverb. This is the guy of wisdom. Everybody knew him as the wise king. You know, so there wasn't a problem with having access to wisdom. But access doesn't necessarily lead to transformation. It's what we do with that access. I think it's in James where the Bible speaks about God. If you, any of you lacks wisdom, ask God who gives to everybody. But what we do with that access to the wisdom is what's going to determine how we come out on the other side. Are we going to reject it and just follow the voices that are familiar with us, or are we going to go with God's wisdom? All right? Shout out to the kids team providing us with tunes. It's rather quiet in here. They're having a good time. Can we just bring some of that energy to their side, you know? You know, some of those there's some scriptures that it reminds me of that uncle that you don't invite to the braai because they just chat about the things that the family would rather not talk about, you know. It just changes the whole atmosphere. There's a scripture in Hosea 4:6 that says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Not for not having access to it, but for lack of knowledge. It goes on and says, "Since you have rejected knowledge, I've rejected you." That's a hard thing to hear, eh? Just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean it's not necessary. We need to know that there are serious implications to rejecting this wisdom that God has for us. And he doesn't want that for us. He makes it free, makes it available. But we live in a time now where we have more access than ever before. We have access to scripture, to preaching, to godly counsel. We have access to the Spirit of God. But like I said, access alone isn't transformation. We need to choose to allow the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of His Word, to constantly penetrate our hearts. We can't control what comes out, but we can definitely control what we let in, right? So Rehoboam, we spoke about Solomon. He's this wise king. There's nobody like him. The word says that literally God gave him wisdom that is above measure. It's immeasurable. There's no end in sight of his wisdom. So his advisors, I wonder which level they needed to be on. They can't just be here and the king is there. So he had access to the best advisors. He was surrounded with the right voices. And I want to see, just very briefly, in verse 7, I just want to remind us what those voices said. It says in 1 Kings 12:7, they spoke to him saying, "If you will be a servant to this people today, and will serve them and grant them their requests, and speak pleasant words to them, then they will be your servants always." So they were saying, serve the people, lower the burden, speak kindly. They were, in essence, trying to call something out of Rehoboam that is very much Christ-like. Because Christ, in his kingship, he came to serve. He came to lighten the burden. And those are all things that they are trying to draw out of Rehoboam. Unsuccessfully because of his choices. But the right voices will draw Christ out of you. And this is why community, we keep going back to this point, community, community, community. And I just think we struggle to see the value in that. If you surround yourself with people, not yes men, but people who are invested in seeing Christ formed in you, you're going to be challenged. You're going to hear things you don't want to hear. They are calling something out of you that they can see God has placed in you already. So here's a few questions that you can maybe ponder on and answer for yourself. Is there somebody in your life who can correct you? That's the first thing. Is there somebody who can challenge you? Is there somebody who is calling Christ out of you? My point here is you cannot become who God called you to be in isolation. You cannot walk this journey alone. And if you attempt to, you are choosing an unnecessarily hard path towards Christ-likeness. It's unnecessary. God gave us community as a gift to aid us on this journey to maturity, to becoming like Him. The right voices are the ones that keep pointing us to the ultimate voice, Jesus. They keep pointing us to Him. They don't amplify who we are. They don't make us great or themselves great. They point you to the great King, right? Isaiah 9:6 calls Jesus the Wonderful Counselor. Let's just think about that for a moment. Wonderful Counselor, among every other explanation or description they could give Him, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Heavenly Father, Wonderful Counselor. Why did He put that in there? The thing is this, if we're honest, Rehoboam didn't just need better advisors. He couldn't ask for better. He needed an entirely new heart. And for that, we do need this Wonderful Counselor. We don't need better advice. We just need a completely
overall of our hearts, because from the heart flows the wellsprings of life. When I was preparing this, I was reminded of the account of creation and just how this is laid out. We must understand that God, being all-powerful, can do anything, can think anything into existence. There's no limitations placed on him. That's why he's God. He existed before all things. So he chose to speak creation into existence. He chose to use his voice to form things. So there's this formation mechanic built into God's voice. So it's so essential for us to actually ask, what is God saying now? Because whatever he's saying is not only to inform us, it's to form us. Because if the voice of God is powerful enough to shape creation, it's powerful enough to shape us. We need to have our finger on the pulse, like, what is God saying? What is he saying about our family? What is he saying about his church? What is he saying about the direction he wants us to take? What is he saying about this future he's leading us into? Hebrews 1:2, I'm just going to summarize this, says, in the last days, God has spoken to us in his Son. So if you want to know what he's saying, we need to have a look at Jesus. We need to zoom in to what Jesus is saying, right? But he's not here physically. But listen to what he says in John 16, verse 7. He says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I am leaving. For if I don't leave, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Verse 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take from mine and will disclose it to you. So in essence, the voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of Jesus. The voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of Jesus made present in our lives. Do you see the connection here? I'm going to go, but I'll send you my Helper, and he's going to speak. Everything that I have, he's going to speak. I want to land, but I want to make an invitation. Revelation 12 speaks of the accuser. It says the accuser accuses the brothers and sisters, you and I, before God day and night. And right now, there's different voices speaking over your life. There's different voices. There's the voice of the accuser that reminds you of your past, that tries to keep you in shame. It tells you to hide. This is the voice of the accuser. And you know what shame does? Shame just gives that voice a megaphone. It amplifies it. And sometimes that voice is so loud that we struggle to hear the other voice that says redeemed, that says healed, the voice that says you're free, you belong to me. We struggle to hear that voice because this other side, this guy's just saying, no, bro, if people know what you did, if people knew this part of you that only you and I know, it's over. You'll be in disrepute. Your name will go down the drain. You know what the antidote to shame is? It's confession. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another and you will be healed. It's a tough ask. It's a bold ask, because we'd rather keep it here. And the accuser's voice just keeps amplifying if they know what you did. But bringing things into the light breaks the power of that lie. I'm going to make a bold ask here. We can leave here. Just go back to the same cycles. Just... hey, you know what? I'm so used to this voice already. It's just another week. It's another day. Let's just keep going. Listening to the same voice, the one that leads you into shame, into hiding, into constant cycles that you're struggling to break. Or we can step into the future that God has called us to. We can allow His voice to be louder than the one that says, shame, hide. A future where you're free, where you're healed. A future where the voice of the Spirit isn't distant, but it's close. It takes root in your heart. That's available to us, but it takes a step of faith. So after Andy comes up here, we're going to have a moment. We're going to have an opportunity, and we would love to step into that with you. And listen, I'm not here saying that I figured it out. I need to make decisions daily to say, no, not this voice, the other one. Even coming into this talk here this morning, if I can be transparent with you, it's like, hey, I know where we want to go. I don't know how we're going to get there. And this constant voice that says, bro, you're going to look like a fool. You're going to mess up. You're going to this. I need to shut that down and say, hey, listen, God says it's about Him. It's His people. It's not about me and how I look. He has His finger on the pulse. He has you and I in His mind. He has something for you this morning that He wants you to break through in. And for some of you, it goes even deeper. You're listening to all these voices, but you don't yet have the Spirit within. If you want the Holy Spirit, first of all, you need to be born again. You need to allow Jesus' Lordship over your life. And if you're here this morning and you want to make that decision, we would love to stand and pray with you. In fact, I'm excited just thinking about it. If that's you and you want Jesus to come into your life and you want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you want direction from the God who created the universe, you want to be shaped by Him, we're excited to pray with you. We're going to be here in a moment. Don't rush off. Amen.
Well done, Mav.